Morning all. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Terry. That's enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that my words are your words and those words of the building up of this place and your kingdom in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we go much further, now for something completely different.
I'm sorry to have kept you waiting, but I'm afraid my walk has become rather sillier recently, and so it takes me rather long. Now then, what was it again?
Well, sir, I have a silly walk, and I'd like to obtain a government grant to help me develop it.
I see. May I see your silly walk?
Yes, certainly, yes. Yes, that's it, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's not particularly silly, is it? I mean, the right leg isn't silly at all, and the left leg merely does a forward aerial half turn every alternate step.
Yes, but I think with government backing, I could make it very silly.
Mr. Pewdie, the very real problem is one of money. I'm afraid that the Ministry of Civil is no longer getting the kind of support that it needs. You see, there's defence, social security, health, housing, education, silly wars. They're all supposed to But last year, the government spent less on the Ministry of Civil Defence than it did on national defence. Now, we get 348 million pounds a year, which is supposed to be spent on all our available products. Coffee?
Yes, please.
Mrs. Two Lumps, would you bring us in two coffees, please?
Yes, Mr. Teabag.
Out of a mind. Now, the Japanese have a man who can bend his leg back over his head and back again with every single step, while the Israelis have... here's the coffee.
How does the world see the church? And what's that got to do with Monty Python? I think in some respects, that's exactly how the world sees the church. From a distance, we're unusual. We act in a way which is sort of unpredictable. And they're not quite sure what we're all about. So I think it begs the question as to, well, what is it that God wants from us as a church? And what's that got to do with bearing with each other in unity? Going back to the Bible, can we have the 1 Corinthians passage up, please, Kelvin? You'll be familiar with this passage. The body is a unit that is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body, so it is with Christ. A nice, easy... get your hands around image of what it is that God is asking for us as a church. But you've got to ask yourself, well, why the analogy of a body? We could be an Airfix kit. We could be a flat pack B&Q kitchen or one of those things you get from IKEA. But why does he use the analogy of a body? I think there's something special in that analogy, and that analogy is that a body starts with one cell. When you put together an Airfix kit, there are a number of parts that are all pressed separately and are drawn together to make a body. And perhaps that's how the outsiders see the church. We're all diverse, we come from different places, and amazingly in this building and in our relationship with each other, we come together and we form a shape, something unpredicted. Or maybe we're a jigsaw puzzle, where you start with a picture, and then that's cut into various shapes that randomly don't look as if they go together, and then over a period of time they come together to form a picture. But that's not the shape that God's calling us to. God calls us to be a body. And you think of the start of the whole process of a body, it starts with just one cell. That cell replicates to two cells to four cells, and so on and so on. And amazingly, that process then starts to create all the limbs of our body. Each limb different, each organ different. Some you can see, some you can't see. So when God's calling us to be a body, we've got to recognize that we're not independent parts of an Airfix kit. We're not a car that's been put together by bits that are manufactured here, there, and everywhere. We grow from one cell. We're related to each other. There's a bond in there. There's an organic bond in there. Which means there must be something more special than just randomly being put together. Now, whether we like it or not, we carry the burden of living our faith and our life in such a way that it's attractive and compelling to the people who see us. We don't have a choice in that. It's a burden, but to live our life in a way that's attractive and compelling. And the trick in that is how do we do that? How do we do that in a way which unites us as believers, but propels us into the world around us in some attractive way? Now, as we conjure with that and we conjure with our calling to go outside, it creates a stress. It creates problems. Kevin, can I have the PowerPoint, please? And this is the personal reflection. So this is me thinking, what are the issues associated with being part of a body that's got this purpose? And these are quite real and quite raw. First one. What happens if we don't like someone? Or we put our wants first? Let's be really honest. Outside, you encounter people that you don't like. And if I've got to be honest, inside I encounter people that I don't like. That doesn't mean I don't love them. But it is a challenge when we talk about how do we bear with each other. The truth of how do we manage this is that if we do love God, if we do love Jesus, then we must love each other. Because within each other is every person, whether they know God or not, is an expression of Christ. We are all part. We all come from that one cell. And that one cell is God. So whether we don't like someone isn't the issue at all as to how we bear with each other. Whether we put ourselves and our own wants first isn't the issue at all as to how we bear with each other. The bearing with each other is about our obligation to recognize that when you confront the person that you're struggling with, they're an expression of Christ. And they're as good an expression of Christ as you are. Even if they don't know God, they're as good an expression of Christ. No one better, no one worse. Our call isn't to judge people, our call is to love people. Kelvin, can I have the second one, please? What about the other scenario? We don't know somebody, and we're different. When we had our PCC away day, we had a fascinating conversation in a small group where I sat with some and we talked about how inclusive are we? Are we truly multicultural? Now, if somebody walked in from outside, they'd say to us, Oh, definitely multicultural. Look around. How many nationalities have we got represented in the building? But that conversation went on and said, do you know something? There's quite a lot of people that are attached to St. Mark's, but are not engaged. Now I had a conversation with Ray Shergill. I don't know, Ray, are you here tonight, today, Ray? I don't know. Here you are there. We had a conversation about this with Ray and with Katie, just about culture. How is it that if I offer some cultures a cup of tea, the first response would be, no, I don't want it, even if they do. The second response would be, no, I don't want it, even if they do. Even the third response would be, no, I don't want it, even if they do. And the fourth response would be, yes, please, because that's what they wanted in the first place. The flip side of that is that if somebody offers me a cup of tea and I don't want one, I think, oh, yeah, I'll say yes, because it's impolite to say no. And in that little moment, we see the stress and strains associated with how we need to bear with each other. So what are the tools we get? So how do we, you know, what do we do about not knowing someone and recognizing and getting over how we are different? Now, you could invite somebody that's different to your table, and you could sit there over dinner and say, okay then, Ray, tell me how you're different. That doesn't feel like a good conversation. It doesn't feel like a very comfortable conversation. And if he reversed it, and you know, we could have been there a month at the dinner table talking about how we're different. But I think the key, as far as how do we deal with our differences in culture, and how we deal with whether we know somebody or don't know somebody, is we do something together. When we've got common purpose, when you're walking in the same direction, it's really easy to look to the person next to you and talk about the things that may be different about you. They'll reveal themselves in the work. But because you've got common purpose, that's not the defining factor of your relationship. All you're doing is you're just getting closer to somebody in the process. So I believe in challenging and equipping us to deal with those sort of issues, the answer's in common purpose. And we know what that common purpose is, and the common purpose is outside the walls of this building. Third one, please, Kelvin. Okay, here's a big one. Big one for me. We don't agree with what somebody else does. Now, some of you will know that shortly, in the course of the next few months, I'm about to lead a new church. And I strongly suspect, and I'd be astonished if it's not the case, there are people sitting in the room now that look at me and say, well, why you? What have you done to deserve that? This person's better. We've all got our own. One of the great things about the way Christ creates us is he creates us with free will, with the ability to make our own decisions and our own opinions. And that's fantastic. But it can be massively damaging. Because where do we get that balance from? Kevin, can I have the Luke passage up, please? If we turn to Luke 9, 49 and 50... it reads as follows. Master, said John, we saw a man driving out demons in your name and we tried to stop him because he's not one of us. And Jesus says, don't stop him, for whoever is not against you is for you. There they were judging, saying this isn't good enough, this isn't the way I'd do it. He's not one of us, he's not our shape, he's not our size, he's not our color, he's not our churchmanship. He doesn't walk like I walk. But Jesus says, no. That's not what it's about. The judging of what he does and how it's done isn't your call. If he's not against you, then he's for you. let's not exhaust ourselves actually looking at the people inside the room and your neighbours, because there's no value in it. Those people are not against you. They may just be doing things differently. I couldn't possibly do what Maya was doing on Friday. I can't sing for toffees to start with. But it's not my thing. And I could argue, well, is that the best use of your energy? Is that the best use of resources? Is that this? Is that that? But that's just ridiculous. It's a complete waste of effort. And it's not honouring to Maya and her heart and to Jesus either. Because Maya's not against me. She's for me. And she's for Jesus. So when we look to each other and say, well, that's not good enough. That's not right. That's not the way I'd like it to be done. Rather than thinking that, let's just go back to the Bible, because Jesus tells us how to deal with this. Is this against me? If it's against him, then we confront it. And we confront it without any equivocation. But if it's not against you, then bless it. Bless it in its difference. Bless it in the recognition that there are so many people out there that will require different shapes and sizes that no one of us could possibly accommodate them all. The question then, coming back to the passage, is, well, what does Ephesians say about all this? And I think actually the toolkit in Ephesians comes down to just one verse. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. If we could tattoo on ourselves, well, this is what church has got to be about, this is how I'm to behave, this is the verse that you'd have tattooed on your forearm, providing it's long enough. But the challenge, at face value you think, oh, that's fine, I get all that. The challenge to be completely humble. Humility's hard. For some people, it feels like it's a gift. To me, sometimes it's really hard. Complete humility is a different level altogether. It's like saying I can drive a car and then putting me in a car at Silverstone today. They're that far apart. Just think through the concept of complete humility. In every area of your life, you're to recognize the gifts of others and not put yourself first. That's our challenge. Be gentle. The world outside the walls will have us not gentle. No matter which piece of news you look at, there's nothing gentle. Gentle doesn't make good press. But gentleness is our call. And be patient. I am the world's worst as far as this is concerned. Those who know me will know this one. You know, this thing down at Chatham Waters, for me, has been going on for 15, 18 months. And it just feels like the worst thing ever because it's just taking forever. I get back and I pray and I get angry and whatever else. And patience, I just pray for more patience. Be patient. When you're going to say something, when you see something that you think is wrong and you're going to say something, don't say it. Give yourself time to make sure the words you're going to say are the words that you want to be heard. Put yourself into the shoes of the person that's going to receive those words. And hear it. Hear what it is that you're about to say and say, is that really going to deliver the thing that I'm trying to say? Is it going to deliver it in love? To bear with each other, with one another in love is our call. In love meaning in Christ. To put up with each other for the sake of Christ. To put up with the fact that people annoy you, that people do things differently, that people are different, people are culturally different, people are unpredictable, unreliable. Put up with all those things because Christ hung on a cross for it. Christ hung on a cross to provide us with hope and freedom. And that is why we need to bear with each other. So my prayer, I guess, today is for us as a church. Most testified to the strength of what a church can do. It can gather around somebody and love them into the kingdom and love them to health. That's our call. Not just inside, but outside too. So my prayer is, let's be all those things. Let's be gentle. Let's be patient. Let's be completely humble. And let's bear with each other for the sake of Christ. Amen.